what does the end of the world have to do with the birth of Jesus Christ? And where do we fit in with what God is doing? Today, we're going to find out. My name is Pastor David Burkittall. My wife, Reverend Sally Welch, is co-producing this podcast. Sally is an ordained minister, actively focusing on ecumenical and interfaith ministry. I served Lutheran Christian congregations in Compton, California, and in San Dimas, California, for over 40 years. Today, I'm filling in temporarily for pastors in the Los Angeles area. Maintaining our yard is my gym, and I'm attempting to learn Mandarin Chinese. We are retired clergy and have over 80 years of ordained ministry experience between the two of us. Check out our first Living Water Radio podcast, number 0, Welcome and Introduction, for more information about us and this podcast. The year is about to change. Next Sunday will be the first Sunday in the season of Advent. It will start a new church year. Here is its geometry. The whole Christian church has two halves. It is designed to tell the major events of the history of salvation in its first half, and a fuller teaching of the Christian life in its second half. The first half is divided into two quarters, or cycles, the birth of Jesus cycle and the death and resurrection of Jesus cycle. Each cycle is divided into three-thirds, or seasons, a third of preparation for an event, a third of the event itself, and a third of reflection on what the event means. So the Christmas cycle begins with Advent, preparation, which is followed by Christmas, the event, and then by Epiphany, reflection. The Easter cycle begins with Lent, preparation, which is followed by Holy Week and Resurrection Sunday, event, and then by the season of Easter, reflection. The time of Pentecost covers the remaining half of the church year. Each season has its own color that reflects the mood of its season. This coming Advent season, beginning this coming Sunday, is represented by royal blue, a color of hope. The word Advent means coming. The Advent season begins 4 Sundays before Christmas, though some clergy have inexplicably begun lobbying for 7 Sundays. The church calendar does not only change each year. Bible readings, or lectionary, move through a 3-year cycle, with each year featuring one of the 3 Gospels that have similar structures, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This Sunday, we begin year B, or the year of Mark, and most of the Gospel readings this year will come from Mark, with readings from John scattered through the whole 3-year cycle. Fun fact, some churches have chosen to move Advent up one Sunday this year so that the 4th Sunday in Advent doesn't fall on the same day as Christmas Eve. Funner fact, the Bible readings for each week in the church year are structured in the lectionary so that if you came to church every Sunday for 3 years, you would hear the entire history of salvation and almost the entire Bible read out loud. So, if you have been a regular worshiper for a while, you have heard almost the entire Bible read aloud many times. The vast majority of churches all over the world use these same readings. You could worship at any one of them on any given Sunday, and you would hear exactly the same scripture being read out loud as in every other church. Liturgy nerds get excited about this stuff, but there's a reason for this tradition. The liturgical year infuses the good news of Jesus Christ with time itself. We mark the passage of time with the history of salvation proclaimed through the Word of God. It is central to a life of faith. Paul writes in Romans 10:17, "So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the Word of Christ." And it helps us fulfill Christ's command to keep awake in Mark 13:37. Those words are preceded by Jesus speaking of the end of time, the final judgment, and the beginning of the new heaven and the new earth. Jesus says in Mark 13, verses 24 to 27, "But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." What does it mean to be among the elect? It means to be among the chosen. Paul uses the language of adoption in Galatians 4 verses 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. It means that we have been saved by God's grace through God's gift of faith. Jesus says to his disciples in John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name." There's nothing that we can do. God desires that all people be saved and died on the cross to make it possible. We can only receive the gift or reject it. In the TV and streaming show, The Chosen, we see an artistic rendering of Jesus' core disciples and how they respond to being chosen. I found myself watching with mixed reactions to the show. I've wondered how far the writers can go in filling in the gaps of the Gospels without it becoming a distraction. I've watched some of the episodes on TV and find it jarring to be watching a scene from the life of Jesus and then cut to a commercial. I've been startled by seeing actors from the show, including the one playing Jesus, selling products in those commercials, however useful they may be. I am concerned about those actors sharing their personal political views and wonder if some people will not have difficulty, at least on some levels, separating the actor from the person they play. In this regard, I've been concerned that the show itself is a violation of the commandment in Exodus 24. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Note, Roman Catholics and at least some Lutherans incorporate this verse into, "You shall have no other gods," the first commandment when numbering the Ten Commandments. On the other hand, I've been impressed with the dedication to understanding the culture and conditions in which the Gospels were written as a means to amplify their meaning and make them more relatable. I was initially put off by the idiomatic speech of the characters, but finally felt that it may be the means by which postmodern people can find them understandable. I have been deeply moved by some scenes, especially some of the miracles of healing. On balance, I think that The Chosen can be a useful means to growing in God if we are listening to the voice of God through it, if it draws us closer to God. It can be a means to make the Gospels meaningful to a new generation of believers and even point them to new life. Jesus continues this passage from Mark with what I think could be another way of infusing the Gospel message in time, in Mark 13:28-31. "From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Obviously, there have been many, many generations of people come and go in the 2,000 years since these words were spoken. But I think that, in a sense, we are still a part of that first generation that first heard Jesus speak. I think that every generation is called to live as the terminal generation. How does every generation respond to God's gift of a full life and salvation? In part, by staying awake. Jesus makes the call in Mark 13, verses 32-37. "But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." As I said earlier, Advent means coming. It refers both to the first advent of Jesus in his incarnation, in his birth at Bethlehem, and it refers to his second advent, his second coming to judge the world and bring in the new heaven and the new earth. We are living in the generation that exists between those two advents. We are the chosen, drawn to God by God's grace through the gift of faith that is a living relationship with the one true living God. Our ticket to heaven was stamped paid in full with Jesus' blood on the cross. As 16th century church reformer Martin Luther presents it in his explanation of the part of the Apostles' Creed that presents the church's core beliefs about the Holy Spirit, I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. Our lives are lived in the transformation power of the Holy Spirit to give new life and in response to the love of God made plain for us on the cross. We are made God's people by the cross. There is nothing we can do to be saved. We can only accept the gift. As Jesus said in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day." Today, let's remember to pray the Lord's Prayer, the one that Jesus taught us. If you don't know what that is, contact us at therevsdavidandsally@gmail.com or send us a tweet to @DavidBurkadahl and we'll send it to you. As always, we encourage you to stay hydrated, to open your heart to receive the living water from the source, God's self, the living presence of the one true living God, the God who gave himself on the cross so that all who believe and are baptized might be restored to the living relationship with God for which we were created. Remember your church. Identify one if you don't already have one. Pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask a friend about it or a family member. Google it. Contact the pastor. When you have a church, go to or tune into the worship services they have available and support your church with your time, your treasure, and your talent. Pray for and support your pastor and church leaders as they seek to do God's will for your congregation. If you are having thoughts of suicide or are struggling with mental health issues, call somebody. Contact a friend or a relative. Google a local or national hotline. Reach out. There are people around you who will walk with you through this dark time into the light. You are not alone. Get your vaccines and boosters. It's the one thing you can do to literally save lives and get us back on track. Be kind to everyone you come into contact with. Everyone you meet today struggles in some way. Be a helper and encourager. Thank you for listening to Living Water Radio. We are here for Christians and for the people of the Los Angeles metropolitan area who are looking for a sense of Christian community, a source of hope, and a way to thrive together as we move into the new normal. We hope you'll tune in next time and invite your friends to do the same. Meanwhile, Sally and I encourage you to open your hearts to receive living water, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and stay hydrated.